Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17.
Say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. Once again, we thank you for the privilege of assembling together in your house. And then, Lord, again, knowing that we're two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence. May we never take that for granted. Lord, we ask for the filling and guiding of the Holy Spirit to lead our hearts and minds to hear from you this evening, and that you might be worshiped in spirit and in truth as you've called for us to. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, Walk Not as Other Gentiles. Walk not as other Gentiles. And that's found right there in the verse 17 there. And what God wants us to understand is that we have a life-changing relationship with the Lord that changes us from the inside out. We're a different people. We're the children of light. We're a royal priesthood, as God would call us. And what a blessing, what a position, a child of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful position and place to be in. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 13, that Peter and John went together into the temple and changed the life of a man who was lame from his mother's womb that was above 40 years old. And things got changed, didn't they, in his life? And he just kind of dragged his feet into the temple. Wasn't that how it goes? Or did he stand up leaping and praising God? And he was holding John and Peter's hands. Can you imagine that? He didn't need to hold their hands, but he was so excited. They were the ones that he knew that God used to change his life. What a blessing. And then the Bible tells us there in verse 13 that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's what the people saw. Jesus made the difference in their lives. So tonight we're going to consider three thoughts. Other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. And secondly, we're going to consider the difference God makes in our life. And then thirdly, the results of the new man. This is what God wants us to understand this evening as we gather together and worship him and want to hear from him. What a blessing it is to be in God's house. God has some things for us. And I want you to know, I'm saying he has things for us, right? Nobody on this side of eternity reaches the mark, but we press toward the mark, right? We don't attain, but we press towards it. We do battle sin, but we want to walk upright by the grace of God, and the Lord shows us those things. So we want to consider, what is the job of the Holy Spirit? Well, he has several jobs, but you know, he is the one that convicts us of sin, and he is the one that brings joy into our life. But how did he bring joy into our life the very first time? He convicted us of our sin, pointed us to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, convicted us to where we put our faith and trust in him, saying, I'm going to look to the Lord and trust the Lord for what he did for me, and we receive that, and then he gives us eternal life. And I would dare say that was probably, up until this point, the happiest day in our life. Amen? The happiest day when we got saved. And so we thank the Lord and praise him for that. And you know, the Lord enjoys you and I rejoicing in what God has given to us. It's not an I hope so, I think so. It's God's given to us, I know so. And we praise the Lord for that. And that changes our life. So let's look at what the Bible says here about the other Gentiles, or those who are lost, that don't know the Lord. The Bible tells us they walk in the vanity of their minds, but that's not true of the child of God. So he says there needs to be a difference. And he says from this moment on, look at verse 17. He says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord. So his testifying is in the Lord. It's in the Spirit of God. And so he's sharing. Do you believe what Paul was writing down here in the book of Ephesians was by the Spirit of God? Absolutely it was. And what was the purpose and intent of this word that God has given to you and I even tonight, if not to encourage us and to draw us near, to give us more wisdom and understanding, and to enjoy the salvation that God has given to us? So notice how he begins this. Verse 17 says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth from this moment on walk not as other Gentiles walk." Well, what's the problem with the way that they were walking? Well, verse 18 tells us that they had their understanding darkened. Notice what it says right here, verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, notice being alienated from the what? Life of God. That's not true of you and I. You and I have been indwelt with the life of God. Isn't that great news? Will that ever change? Will you ever be not indwelt with the life of Christ? No, that won't change if you're saved by the grace of God. God keeps us saved throughout all eternity from this moment forward. And then notice what he says here again in verse 18. He says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Why? Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So would you say when you got saved, the light of God shined into your heart and mind so that you had understanding? Yes. Absolutely. Now, when we walk in the dark, here's what happens. It's possible for a child of God to walk in the dark and dark. And I would dare say, since you've been saved, you've walked in darkness at different times. And we'll look at that here in just a moment. But the Lord tells us that we don't have to walk in darkness anymore because we're indwelt with the light of God. But, you know, if you were in the dark, you can, I don't know if you've ever traveled through your house in the dark and maybe you ran your foot into something, right? And then, somebody may have thought you got a little charismatic or something and hopped around. I don't know what happened. But here it is. You didn't know what you hit unless you knew where you were at in your house. But you would think, oh, I must have hit a table. But then if you turned the light on, you found out it was the piano. Not that everybody has a piano in their house, but if you're walking in the darkness and you hit something, you don't know what you hit until the light is turned on. Then you understand exactly and see exactly how that happened. Well, that's the job of the Holy Spirit that turns the light on so that we might understand where we've run into or what we've run into that has stopped us so that we can have better direction and avoid those obstacles in our relationship with the Lord. So as we consider that, again, he says this in verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Listen to this. Who being past feeling have given themselves unto licentiousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And Paul is saying, be careful you don't walk the way that they walk. So Paul is saying it is possible for a child of God to walk this way and ruin their testimony and miss out on the love of God that he wants to fill our hearts and minds. So this is given to believers to guard against falling into this. And so he says they're past feeling, they're into lasciviousness. All they care about is themselves and what they think, and they don't care if it's unclean before the Lord. They don't care if it's unacceptable before the Lord. That's the lost world, isn't it? They don't really care because they don't know any different. They really don't. But Paul is saying to the believer, you and I are not that way. Be careful that you don't walk that way. And it is possible. It is very possible. So God wants our life filled with joy, does he not? Absolutely. Their past feeling, they can't be moved. They are set in their ways. Question, you can only answer this for yourself. Are you set in your ways? Or are you looking for the Lord to guide you in his ways? There's two ways. You could be set in your ways like concrete. Not I shall not be moved when God's trying to move. And he's trying to move us to walk like he walked. He's wanting his life in our life that we might enjoy the salvation that God has given to us. How often does he want us to have the joy of the Lord? Just not on Christmas and New Year's only? No? Let's throw in Easter. Easter, Christmas, and New Year's. That's the time that we're to be happy. The rest of the time, we're supposed to have a long face. Or does God want us to have the joy of the Lord how often? Always. Isn't that amazing? We know that answer. Where does that answer come from? Well, that's the Holy Spirit letting us know. He is the revealer. He is the one that lets us know what He wants in our lives. So let's consider the difference that God makes in our life. Look at verse 20 here, and notice what it says. But ye have not learned Christ. You've learned something different. The lost world didn't learn this, but the child of God has learned this. If so be, verse 21, that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in who? It's in Jesus, right? Notice that. Look at verse 21. If so be, in other words, but ye have not so learned Christ, verse 21, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. So this is the important part of interacting and engaging the Lord to work in our lives, because it's not just head knowledge. Listen, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those who rejected the Lord were engrossed in doctrine without faith in the Lord. They had all kinds of spiritual knowledge, but they missed the Lord. And by the way, listen, you and I need to be on guard and be careful that we're not set in our ways, that we think, you know, this is just the way it is, without allowing the Lord to work in our lives to transform our lives to be like Him. That is the goal, is it not? Is it the goal to just say, well, bless God, this is just the way I've always done it, and this is the way I'm always going to do it and never going to change? Is that pliable in the hands of God? What if Peter would have said that? Well, bless God, you know, you're not to go to the cross. That's just what I believe, and he would have been doomed, wouldn't he? And so we need to be pliable in the hands of God. So the Holy Spirit is the one that brings joy into the life of the believer. Now, I will just give you a confession here. I have not always been happy and joyful in my life. As a believer, I've not always been joyful and happy in my life. And what is it that causes people not to be happy and joyful and to be a stink pot? What? Huh? Pain? Okay, pain. How about sin? How about sin? It's really sin. Because the Bible says that God has come into our life to change us and to be like Him. And if we're not careful, we say, well, you know, my nerves are acting up today. Isn't that a good excuse? My nerves, that's why I got all bent out of shape. That's why I lost my cool. That's why I got all upset. Is that a good excuse? No, let's call it what it is, sin. It's what it is, right? How about this? Well, you know, they're just tired. They acted like that because they're just tired, right? No, is that, it's sin, isn't it? Yes. It's sin. That's what the Holy Spirit would have us to know. How about this? Well, you don't understand. They're under a lot of pressure. Show me that in the Bible. When there's a lot of pressure, you can just act like the devil. Amen? You can just let her out, right? Let it go. Is that just do and say what you want to do and say, right? Because after all, your circumstances and the pressure of it. Or how about this? Well, you know, you're just dealing with difficult people, you know? Why are you unkind to this neighbor or to this person? Well, they're just a difficult individual. No, it's because we sin. That's what it is. We sin, and then we walk away from the love of God and the joy of the Lord. And if we're not careful, we make excuses and point the finger at somebody else when it's really us. And say, this is why, look at them. No, wait a minute. Who died for you? Who died for me? Was it them or was it the Lord Jesus Christ? Is God wanting to make us like Him? Did Jesus suffer some persecution? Absolutely. Did he lose his joy? Not at all. Now, I didn't say he didn't go through trials and difficulties and that he didn't cry out to God. That's one thing. But he never lashed out at anybody. In fact, when he could have turned everybody into toast, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He could have called thousands, ten thousands of angels to his rescue. But he didn't do that, did he? He said, Father, and the Lord wants us to be like who? Like Him. So we need to come to grips with things and say, listen, I need to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. How often should I be like the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Hold your place right here and go back to the book of Romans just for a moment. Romans, if you will, chapter 8, and look at verse 35. There is no excuse for you and I to ever act in a way that would dishonor the Lord and that would reveal the flesh. That we need to call that sin. And so Romans 8:35 says this. Paul, did Paul go through some persecutions?
Yes.
Yeah, and ultimately beheaded, right? Okay, so let's look at this. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the what? Love of God. Did you see that? If there's no love there, mark it down, there's no joy. And what we'll do is we'll until we say, Lord, this is sin. When I act this way, that is not the way that you would have me to act. Until we're willing to come to grips, instead of pointing a finger at situations, circumstances, or people, we need to point right to ourselves. If, only if, we're wanting God to make the change. If not, then we'll keep going down the road the same way we've been going down the road. And it's the wrong road, right? And we won't get to the destination that God wants us to get to. He wants us to arrive to his joy and in his love and in his peace. So he says this, verse 35, listen to this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, I'd say that was a hard day, or distress or persecution? I would say there were some bad circumstances and there was some pressure that was in his life. Or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, listen to this, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Question, during the time of Paul, were Christian believers being taken to death? And were they being used as human candles to light up Nero's gardens? Was that taking place? Yes, they were. And this is what Paul's talking about. He's saying, look at all this. And the testimony goes that while they were on fire, literally on fire, they were singing praises to the Lord because the love of God had not forsaken them, because they were determined and had yielded to the Lord that he might fill them even in that most trying hour. Do you know that God wants to fill your life and mine the same way? The exact same way. But we have to be willing to say, Lord, when I don't act like you, it's because of sin. I don't have your love and I don't have your joy. And what I've done is I have allowed something else to rob me of what you've given me. And we miss out. And so notice what he says this. Verse 37. Listen to this. He says, in all these things, we are more than, not failures, conquerors. How? Through him that what? Loved us. So when we don't have the love of God, mark it down, we're sinning. The only reason why we lose the love of God is because we have gone our own way. That's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? But we need to do business with the Lord if we want the love of God. And as soon as I'm not walking in love, Lord, I am wrong. Did Jesus ever stop loving even when he was on the cross? Even when they spit at him? Even when they did all those things and falsely accused him? Did he ever stop loving? Should you and I stop loving? Only if we're filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit and walking with the Lord. Now remember, when we got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in and convicted us and told us we were wrong, and we saw that right away, and as soon as we yielded and trusted the Lord, we got saved, and oh, happy day. Amen?
Amen.
But wait a minute, the same thing is true today. Yes. Let's admit before the Lord, Lord, I know that if I've lost my love and I've lost my joy, I'm doing wrong. I am the one that has stopped looking to you, and I started looking at everything else. And what did the Lord say to Peter when Peter said, bid me to come on the water, Lord? And the Lord said, come. And he began to sink. And he said, Lord, help me. And the Lord did help him when he sunk. And what happened? What did he say? Oh, ye of what? Oh, ye of little faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. Sin. Hey, we just need to be honest with the Lord and realize, here's a big thing, we really need the Lord in order to honor and glorify him. Here's what I'm about. I want to hear, and I want you to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But we'll never hear that as long as we're doing things our way and the way we think. We're not trusting the Lord. We're not trusting the Lord. Joseph had no clue what was coming into his life, but that was the will of God for him. You mean at the hands of his brothers? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Was it not the will of God? He didn't like it. Were the brothers wrong? Oh, absolutely they were wrong. But God used that. He knows everything that's going on in our lives and still wants us to walk in his love. Let's go back to our text very quickly. Back in Ephesians chapter 4. And again, the Lord is the one that died for us. And so we want to walk with him. So look at verse 22. Look what the Lord teaches us. To put off the old man. That ye put off. In fact, look at verse 21 again. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Not in us, but in Jesus. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the former lifestyle, the former way you acted, the way that God wants us to walk, the old man, put off the old man, which is what? Corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Selfish lusts. We can be self-deceived because we're going after our lust and not the love of God. Right? Amen? We're all guilty of doing this. And all God is wanting us to do is say, okay, Lord, I want to line up with you and say, this is not right. Because now I can see it. When I see myself not walking in love and not in the joy of the Lord, who's doing wrong? Oh, we could say, but Lord, you know that person? You mean like the people that falsely accused the Lord? You mean like the people that had him put on Calvary's cross, those kind of people that he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can we not do the same? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I will be honest with you. I've not always done that. And I will tell you this. I can't do that unless the Lord helps me. Can you? We can't do that. You know what we would do? Lord, how big is a lightning bolt? I'd like a lightning bolt right over there. Right? That's what the flesh does. Instead of, Lord, be merciful to them as you have shown me mercy. What do we deserve? We deserve hell. We deserve death. That's the truth, isn't it? And God says, I have forgiven you. Now walk like me. Amen? Now follow me. Isn't that what he said? Now follow me. Walk like me. Let me show you how it's done. And so, verse 23, and be renewed, a new mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that's the Holy Spirit's work. Think differently. You and I cannot think differently without the helper, without the paraclete, the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. We can't do that either without the Lord, which after God is created in what? Righteousness and true holiness. So to say the least, if we are not in the joy of the Lord and we're not kind, then we're certainly not walking in the new man, are we? We're not walking in righteousness that God created. We're not walking in true holiness. That this is the key to victory. Verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. He's talking about, this is the love that God wants us to have one for another, is it not? Yeah, that's what he wants. A genuine love, not a fictitious love, not just a facade. You don't want just a fakeade, as some people call it. You don't want a facade. You want something genuine and real, right? How real? As real as our salvation. Amen. As real as the Lord is to us. Amen. That we might enjoy our relationship with him and truly be the light to a lost and dying world. So we find here that he says, this is what works here. This is what honors and glorifies the Lord. And again, he says, we're members one of another. Verse 25, look at verse 26. He says, be angry and sin not. That's a dangerous emotion. So God puts a safeguard on that. He doesn't say love and sin not. He says, oh no, he says be angry and sin not. Well, what kind of angry? Well, sin destroys. We can be angry at sin, but not the sinner, right? Because they're blind. They don't understand. Would you say sinners crucified the Lord? And he wasn't angry with them, but he was angry at their sin. And he did ask for their forgiveness, didn't he? Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Anything that's corrupt, anything that's ungodly, don't let it come out of your mouth, but that which is good, why? How? To use of edifying, that it may minister what? Listen to this. That what we say ministers grace to the hearers. The grace of God. The things that we say should minister the grace of God to those people that we're communicating with. And if it's not, what is it? It's sin. If it's not communicating the grace of God, it can only be one other thing. See, until we confess, there's no healing. There's no restoration. The Bible tells us, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Isn't that the truth? That's the Bible. That's not me just making that up. That is the Lord telling us. And so if we really want revival, and if we want God to work in our lives and to shine his light, we've got to line up with his word and ask him and say, Lord, just like we got saved, no one can do it for us. We've got to do it for ourselves, don't we? God invites us and we make that choice. And God wants us to choose that so that we can enjoy what he's given to us. So let's look at this last couple of verses here. And notice this godly attitude he wants us to have towards others. And then the last thought here is not to grieve the Holy Spirit. The word and is a conjunction, so it's continuing this thought here. He says, don't let corrupt communications, verse 29, proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. If we do opposite, he says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Right? And so if we don't speak things that minister grace to the hearers, we are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? That's pretty. Listen, I had to stop and say, oh, guilty, God. Guilty. I need you, Lord. I don't want to walk my way. I want to walk your way. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Lord didn't say we lost our salvation, did he? We're sealed. But boy, oh boy, it's going to be a rude awakening if we walk our own way. Notice this. Let all, again, keeping this all connected together, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, so if you've ever been bitter, if you ever had wrath, if you ever had anger, if you ever had clamoring and evil speaking, it's what? Sin. Be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There is no way we can be right if we are walking contrary to what God has said. There's no way we can convince ourselves, we can lie to ourselves, we can even lie to other people. We are never going to stand right before the Lord. So what does God want us to do? He wants us to do business with him personally and say, Lord, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. And when David was wrong and he called upon the Lord, what did he say? Lord, restore unto me what? The joy of my salvation. Right? Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. So if you've ever lost your joy, it's good to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, he's the restorer of our joy. But we've got to be willing to walk his way and follow after him. The natural tendency of our human heart is to point the problem. The reason why is over there, not here. Isn't it? That's our natural tendency. We want to show you where the problem is, and it's never in our shoes. But you know where the Lord says the problem is? in our shoes. Amen. It's in our problems. Our biggest problem is in our own shoes. And so, Lord, help me to see as you see, right? Why? Because that's where joy is restored. And God wants us to have his joy. How often? All the time, always. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, the work of the Holy Spirit that guides us to you and to your joy and to your love and into your will and into your way. Lord, may we not take that for granted. May we not resist or reject it. But Lord, may we simply hear and believe and yield and receive, Lord, what you've given to us with your joy, with your peace, and with your love that honors and glorifies you, that we might truly enjoy the relationship, no matter what the situation or circumstance is. In all situations, Lord, you never leave us nor forsake us, and nobody can take us out of your hand. Lord, may we walk like you hold us all the time and guide our lives to glorify you. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.